Faced with the threat of a swine flu pandemic, leaders around the world have struggled to take appropriate measures while not creating a panic. But not in Ukraine, where the presidential election is scheduled for January 17th, and at least one candidate is accused of having greatly exaggerated the severity of the swine flu outbreak there to boost poll numbers. Joining me now for today's first underreported segment is Julia Yaffe. Her article on the situation in Ukraine is now posted on Foreign Policy Magazine's website, and I'm very pleased that it brings her to our show today. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. We're speaking to you now from Moscow.
From Moscow, yes.
When did this round of swine flu emerge in Ukraine?
Well, the first confirmed case popped up on October 30th, and then the whole panic really spun out of control through November. Now it's kind of died down, and they're on to the next set of mini scandals.
Well, 1.6 million people in Ukraine are said to have contracted the illness. How does that compare with other countries of similar size?
Well, the World Health Organization came out. They were summoned by the Tymoshenko government. She's the prime minister currently of the Ukraine to survey the situation in the Ukraine, and they said there was really nothing unusual going on, especially compared to Russia and the other countries around the Ukraine. And there have only been, I mean, you don't want to say only when you're talking about deaths, but there have only been about 400 deaths in the Ukraine from the swine flu.
What kinds of measures has Ukraine taken to deal with the swine flu?
Well, they went all out. They quarantined nine of the 25 regions of the country. Kiev, when I was there, was at the tail end of the quarantine, and it was just an empty city virtually. There was a lot less traffic. All schools and universities were closed across the Ukraine for 3 weeks. All public gatherings were canceled, and people said this was Tymoshenko trying to prevent her competitors from holding rallies after she had already had hers on October 25th. And then, of course, she started buying Tamiflu from abroad and making these highly publicized deliveries. She would summon teams of journalists to come down with her to the airport, you know, like 3 a.m. to greet a plane full of Tamiflu. So on one hand, people say that she prevented a greater outbreak and she got the Ukrainian health system, which is badly dilapidated and falling apart, in shape for probably what's going to be a second wave of swine flu. But there's a lot of waste. She got a lot of money from the parliament, about $125 million worth. And in Ukraine, it's never clear where the money is going to go, and it might end up in her campaign coffer.
Well, hasn't President Viktor Yushchenko denied her request so far?
But when she started asking for the money, the suspicions instantly arose that that's where she was going to aim that money if it got to her.
And they are the two leading candidates for the presidency. There is a third candidate. You say that Ukraine's health system isn't strong enough to handle all of this? It's dilapidated?
Yes, it was. They've periodically tried to reform it just by throwing a chunk of money at it very quickly, but they've never undertaken any kind of systematic reform. And so when the flu hit, and Tymoshenko spun this situation in the press as a huge pandemic, the system was instantly overwhelmed. They were instantly out of beds. They couldn't even take patients who were having real complications, you know, blood in their lungs. It was instantly overwhelmed. Pharmacy shelves were just cleared. There were lines going for blocks. People were just mobbing the pharmacies. The system was not ready to handle the kind of panic that the government churned up.
One of Tymoshenko's campaign advisors told you that she had purposely overstated the severity of the swine flu situation to benefit her campaign. Why would he admit that with a month left in the presidential campaign? Was he a dissatisfied aide who disagreed with the decision?
You know, I'm not sure. I've been wondering that myself. But from what I've heard from other people who have worked closely with Tymoshenko and who have since fallen out of favor, she can be kind of an autocratic boss. And it seemed to me that, you know, he perhaps had not been getting enough credit for some of the work he had done for her campaign. Maybe he had, you know, started falling out with her. He'd been working with her for a long time. But maybe on that particular day, I caught him in an off mood.
Uh-huh. Well, you've called your article Ukraine's Phantom Flu, and we have a link to that article on our show page. But what proposals did the other presidential candidates make to deal with the swine flu problem?
Well, phantom, by the way, that was the word that the advisor the advisor used to describe it to me. He said we had to invent a phantom so that Tymoshenko could ride in like a white knight and save the day.
Has it been working? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was asking, has that worked for her?
Oh, absolutely. Her poll numbers instantly started to climb through the first half of November. Then by the end of November, I have to say that there was a poll that came out and 40% of Ukrainians saw it as a political ploy.
Well,
swine flu panic.
She's in her second term as prime minister, and her approval rating was just 14%. So anything might help under those circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
She's also been seen as pandering to Russia on oil.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Hasn't she also been seen as pandering to Russia on oil?
On gas, yes. That she's, she touts her deals with Russia as, getting concessions from Russia. She did come back from Yalta with a gas agreement that upped the transit fees and lowered the quota that Ukraine has to buy from Gazprom, whether it uses it or not. But Ukrainians are saying that's still not enough. We're still required to buy way too much gas than we need, especially in a crisis situation when our factories aren't working and we just don't need that much energy. So she's also a veteran of the gas business. So people are seeing traces of that in her actions as well.
Well, how responsible is she, and how responsible is President Yushchenko for the crisis?
For the gas crisis?
Yes.
Or for the flu crisis?
Well, we'll get back to the flu in a moment, but, the economy has been suffering, and I guess there's been a lot of finger-pointing.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is because it's a very corrupt. There's a big gray section of the economy. There's a lot of corruption in the Ukraine, and that couldn't have helped when the crisis hit. And as much as Tymoshenko has tried to do to stabilize the country in time of crisis, there's been so much backbiting between her and Yushchenko. And the delegation of powers is so unclear between the president, the prime minister, and the parliament that not much can get done. So there's just perpetual deadlock, perpetual political crisis, and nothing is getting done. And it's having an effect on the polls. Some 15% of Ukrainians don't want to vote for anybody. They're going to go to the polls, but they don't know who they would vote for because they hate everybody. And another 6% aren't going to go at all, which, those are still high turnout numbers compared to the U.S., but significant for the Ukraine.
My guest is Julia Yaffe. Her article in Foreign Policy is what we're discussing on today's Underreported, Ukraine's Political Swine Flu Panic. Her article is called Ukraine's Phantom Flu. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. I'm sure many people will remember that last presidential election in Ukraine in 2004, which attracted a lot of international attention after Viktor Yushchenko, the eventual winner, was poisoned. How effective has he been as president? Has he been able to push through any of the reforms he promised?
Well, that's been the big surprise of the last 5 years. Because of he was able to win the election in the third round, which was allowed by the outgoing president, on the condition that a lot of the presidential power would be transferred to the prime minister. So as soon as he takes office with Yulia Tymoshenko as his prime minister, he is, his powers are completely gutted.
But they had been allies, hadn't they?
Yes, they've been allies, but, as soon as they both get to the helm, it's unclear who's steering. And Tymoshenko is a woman who loves to be in charge. And Yushchenko is described as a man who sees himself as the embodiment of a historic mission. And he has these grand plans, and she has these grand plans, and the fighting instantly begins. And in a few months, the Orange Coalition falls apart. And for the next 5 years, there's this constant backbiting. At one point, he even has a prime minister who was supposed to have poisoned him, Yanukovych. And so his, it's a stunning statistic. He, in the spring of 2005, immediately after the revolution, Yushchenko's was polling at 49%. 49% of Ukrainians approved of him. In October, his ratings were down to 4.9%. So they went down by a factor of 10, and that's at the higher range of what he's been polling recently. He's been unable to get anything done. He's been fighting so much with Tymoshenko that he hasn't been able to implement any of the things he promised.
Well, let's talk about Viktor Yanukovych, favorite candidate of Moscow in 2004. And Russia played a large role in that election.
Yes.
Are there concerns that Russia will interfere again?
Well, people are seeing Russia's hand now in Tymoshenko's close cooperation with Vladimir Putin, and he keeps issuing statements saying that he would like to work with Tymoshenko. But really, the Russians are trying very hard to stay out of this because 2004, the Orange Revolution really blew up in their faces. They looked terrible abroad. It had huge repercussions at home for them. So they're really trying to play it safe this time.
Well, we're talking about a country that has been hit hard by the economic meltdown. The GDP contracted 15% in the third quarter of 2009. Has Viktor Yanukovych benefited from all of the widespread dissatisfaction?
Absolutely, because he's been in the opposition. Tymoshenko, who is the prime minister who has the most power in the government, has been in charge during the whole duration of the crisis. So many Ukrainians are blaming her growing unemployment, shrinking GDP, things just generally getting worse. Whenever you're in the opposition, you're going to benefit from your opponent getting slammed by something like an economic crisis. We saw that in the U.S. in 2008.
But aren't Ukrainian voters a little wary of him after he was backed by Russia in the 2004 election?
Well,
and accused of poisoning Yushchenko.
Oh, not just that. He twice did jail time in his youth for it's unclear exactly what, but it's supposed to be assault and theft. So people really don't trust him. They don't want an ex-con in office. On the other hand, a lot of people trust him, even though he's this kind of wooden, doltish figure. He strangely appeals to a lot of Ukrainians because he's seen as this kind of paternal figure.
Now, why is Ukraine in such a mess? I would think that there are a lot of really smart, competent people out there who might want to turn things around.
It's been in a mess because the economic crisis, I think, hit at a time of political crisis, and nobody can get anything done because they're busy fighting with each other, and they can't get their act together long enough to actually implement anything or much of anything. And so, and each of the things feeds off each other, and there's just a tremendous amount of apathy and dissatisfaction and cynicism in the Ukraine, especially in Kiev, that I observed.
You're in Moscow right now, and there has also been a lot of tension over the gas pipeline that goes from Russia through Ukraine. What's the view of the Russians of all of this? The Russian man in the street.
The Russian man in the street, I doubt, is paying very much attention to this. But there was a recent survey that showed that Russians generally just don't like the Ukraine. They're seen as, I think there's a sense that there's a sense of betrayal there, that they split off. They want to go with the West. They're not like Belarus or some of the other former Soviet states. They're fighting Russia's influence. And I think many Russians in this kind of neo-imperialist spirit are affected by that.
I've been speaking with Julia Yaffe of Foreign Policy magazine. Her article, Ukraine's Phantom File, is now available on their website. And you can also access it on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for talking with us on today's first underreported segment.
Thank you for having me.